Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is absolutely incredulent, Bob. This is absolutely incredible, actually.
You haven't said that word in a long time.
Do you know? I know. The Steelers, we all know, are 0-5 in their last five playoff games. New England AFC title game a million years ago. Blake Bortles comes to town. Baker Mayfield comes to town. And then they go visit Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Would either one of you care to gander a guess, if that's the right phrasing, and I'm not sure that it is, limitless wonder, as to what the cumulative score after one quarter is in those games?
Say those games again.
New England AFC title game.
Okay.
Blake Bortles comes to town. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes on the road, and Baker Mayfield comes to town.
You're saying after the first quarter. I know they went scoreless in two of those games.
What is the cumulative first quarter score of those games?
100. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4. 140.
No, just the first quarters.
Just the first quarter.
Oh, okay. 140. That's 21. 21. I'd say 95-14.
Ooh, that was close to my guess. I was going to say 98-10, but I'm not even confident they had 10.
66-0.
No, wait a minute. They didn't score in the Chiefs game? I thought they scored a game in the Chiefs game first. Not first?
Let me check, Bob. Now you've totally watered down that incredible stat. And now I have to check it.
I know it's a terrible stat, and it's very accurate what you said.
No, it was 0-0 after one quarter in that game.
But didn't they score first, the Steelers, or no?
Yeah, in the second quarter.
Okay.
Let me try that again. The cumulative score of the first quarters of those five games is 66-0 in five games. Does that speak to a well-prepared team, Bob? I think that's a rhetorical question.
But that has lingered now beyond these games into the regular season. It's the same thing. It's slow starts, and that is unacceptable when you're getting into a playoff game, and that's why this week it has to change. But the question is, will it? And how does it change?
Listen.
Because you can't run on first and second down every time you get the ball.
I know. Period. Well, they have no first drive touchdowns the whole year and in 19 games. Let me ask you perhaps a sensitive question, Bob. Because I know that are you friends with Art II? Would you consider yourselves friends?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have good relationships with everyone over there, yes. So I've known their family for a long time.
Do you think at some point that the numbers become so overwhelming to him that he makes a move with Mike Tomlin? Because at this point, and this is just sort of a general profile, we're looking at perhaps 8 years without a playoff win, 3 playoff wins in 14 years, including in 12 of those, 0 playoff wins. So the longest playoff drought since before Chuck Knoll got here, although I guess it included his first couple of years, the longest division title drought in, 30 years or so? Something like that. And records like the most games in a row giving up 40 points in a playoff game. Nobody had ever done that until Tomlin did it. And Buffalo could have scored 50 if they wanted last year, but I think settled for 31. At what point, Bob, knowing Art, do you think he would what would be the tipping point for him where he finally says enough is enough? This is not Steeler football.
Well, I think he actually gave you an indication this past offseason when he said it's time to win some playoff games. And that's a subtle way of saying that that's what has to happen here. But he also extended Mike, and I don't know that it would ever come, as we talked earlier, to a I'm done. That's it. This thing has gone on too long. It's run its course. I think it would have to be a mutual situation. I think he has, and they have a very good relationship there. So I think it would be mutually done one way or the other. Whoever precipitates it, whether it's Mike, whether it's Art, I think that's the way it was done. Sort of similar to the way Chuck Knoll, I think Dan Rooney knew it was time. He knew it was time, and they did it as a kind of a joint collaborative, okay, this is time. I don't think they just go out and say, that's it. And if it did happen, you would have to change everything radically, the entire coaching staff, most likely, like it is in any coaching change. So
the percent chance.
I think he's getting to the point where he knows it's time to start winning playoff
games. Yeah, he said it, like you said. Percent chance that if they get blown out in Baltimore, that Art would come to the conclusion, in your words, that this has run its course.
If they get blown out in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Percent chance, probably 20%, only because he signed him. And I think he still believes in what he does as a head coach. Now, again, there are things you can do as an owner to put pressure on your coach to make changes.
Yeah.
I think that would be, if it's going to remain as is, then that would be the first indication that things are not going over so well with the ownership group.
66-0. I can't get over that. You spend your whole week. Maybe that's why Tomlin always says starts aren't important, because if they were, my God, what would his resume have laid?
Well, he said they don't define you, but in many ways they do define you.
Yes, they
do. That's all they do is define you, because even the Cincinnati game, they could not overcome that start, right?
Getting off to a lead, whether it's a peewee game, a little league baseball game, a pickup basketball game, or a professional sporting event, history shows that when you get off to a lead, you win more often than not. It's very important.
They keep stats like that in all sports.
Yeah. I mean,
hockey, if you lead after one, chances are you're going to win the game. Right.
Right? I mean, the percentages. Because you tighten up and change when you're behind a lot of times. You loosen up and are able to play with a lead.
Right. When you fall behind, you have to exert so much effort in coming back. And eventually you get to that point where even if you tie the score, you've put so much into tying the score that there's a natural letdown, and the team that had the lead gets one final score. And you say, well, that's why comebacks are hard to make. Before you could come back, you got to fall behind. You don't want to fall behind. And they've done it far too much.
You also put so much effort, and I'm looking at these playoff games, 66-0 over their last five cumulative first quarter score. You put so much effort into game planning, into scripting the beginning of a game, because you know that starts are really important. You get off to a 10-0 lead in these kinds of games, you know, that just changes everything. That means you can now go into a mode of running the ball, and your defense can pin its ears back maybe a little bit more. Certainly with a lead later in the game, it can. It changes the entire dynamic of what the Steelers want to do. They've been put in positions in all these playoff games, virtually all of them, where they have to go completely out of personality to try to come back and win. 66-0. That's laughable. It's pathetic, Bob.
Right. And again, you would think the first quarter really defines the preparation, all the work you put into getting ready for these games. That's where, if you can make a difference, it's there. You come out and do something that the other team doesn't expect. You spend all time looking at trends and what this team does that you're going up against, and you come up with a game plan that is designed to take advantage of what you've seen. And yet, we don't necessarily
right
see
off
the results.
The bat to take advantage of what you see.
Right, and that's why you put the time and effort into going through all the film study, all the preparation, all the game planning. You should be at your very best in the first quarter. And if both teams are at their very best, typically you'll see both teams score right off the bat. But if you're not and fall behind, then you don't have, and then all of a sudden it becomes a whole different kind of game for you. You have to get out of whatever your comfort zone is and play differently.
Well, I promise these Tomlin quotes reflecting his lack of confidence in Russell Wilson. Let's do that at the top of the hour, because up next we have Rob Long from The Fan in Baltimore. Never shy with an opinion. Got into a little Twitter beef, or at least Patrick Queen got into one with him. I mean, this is pure drama. Whatever we think of what's going to happen, however mad you might be at the Steelers. Steelers, Ravens in primetime in the Patrick Queen Bowl, Bob. I mean, this is why we lift all them weights. Let's talk to Rob Long next about what's happening in the Ravens locker room where they're laughing at George Pickens.
Yeah, that'll be the first thing.
Does Rob think this will be a blowout? Rob said going into the last game that Lamar had had enough of the Steeler talk and was going to go out and play like an MVP. He did late in the game. I would argue that at the beginning of the fourth quarter, if we shut down time right then, right after his interception, it sure looked like the same old, same old. Let's talk to Rob about all of that coming up next. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. That's your big chance to interact with Wonder Twin over here. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We have so much to talk about getting ready for this game, including the greatest Post-Gazette mailbag ever.
Can I interject something?
Please.
Just out of curiosity, just throw this up. You know, you heard about Tyreek Hill yesterday, right?
Saying he wants out.
He wants out.
Yeah.
He still has time left on the contract.
Yeah.
Well, he has changed his avatar picture on Twitter to his face on Antonio Brown's body when Antonio Brown took his uniform off and walked off the field.
That's very fitting. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Bob. I got asked in the mailbag, don't answer this now. Someone said, would you trade Pickens for Tyreek Hill and also swap first round picks with the Dolphins? Something to think about. Primetime Saturday night, Steelers, Ravens, one team with the arrow pointed up, the other with the arrow pointed, well, I was going to say directly into the toilet, Bob. I'll just say down right now. However, I don't think that's the way the game is necessarily going to go, at least not the odds makers. At 9.5 points is just a mind-blowing spread. I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Ravens will win, but I think it's going to be close, like almost every Steelers-Ravens game. Here to talk about it from the Ravens side is our friend from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, one of our favorite guests, Rob Long. Rob, we appreciate you joining us, man. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on, gentlemen?
Well, we're getting ready for this game. We're trying to check the vibe in this town and in Baltimore. And one of the reasons I think that the spread was too high, in my opinion anyway, is the Zay Flowers situation. Can you fill us in on that? Do you think he'll play? If he does, will he be anywhere near full strength?
I don't think Zay Flowers will play. To be honest with you, this week they may get him ready for the divisional round in case they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I don't think he'll be able to go. If you look at the Ravens' numbers, the only thing that's really affected offensively in terms of the numbers with Zay Flowers off the field are explosive plays. They're ranked number one in a lot of statistical categories with Zay, number two in other statistical categories. As far as explosive plays, with Zay, they're number four in the league. Without him, they're number seven in the league. So those explosive plays, you know, plays of 20 or more yards. So I'm not saying he doesn't matter, because he does. He's a Pro Bowler. He's a difference maker. But the results don't change much with or without Zay on the field.
How often have they been without him? Like, what's the sample size for Ravens without Flowers? Because explosive plays.
Not a huge sample size. He's, for the most part, been durable over his career. Rashad Bateman is a guy that's missed a lot of time, but Zay doesn't miss a lot of time.
So that makes me wonder here, Rob. You know, they don't have a lot of, similar to the Steelers, they don't have a lot of depth at wide receiver. They have names you've recognized. Like Aguilar is certainly somebody who's had success in this league. But what do they do? Who's the guy to step up in the wide receiving department?
It's probably going to be Aguilar, to be quite honest with you, because he's the guy that, you know, he puts up pretty good numbers when necessary. He's a guy that, in my opinion, is better than, you know, most people thought he was when he came over here. I know he wasn't very good in Philadelphia, and people tend to remember him as being a guy that drops. But overall, he's not. He hasn't been bad with the Baltimore Ravens. I suspect him to be the guy that steps up. But I also expect for them to get more numbers from Bateman. Bateman has to step up and be more productive, to be honest with you. You know, the former first-round draft pick. They also have a guy named Tez Walker, who's a rookie from North Carolina, who has played. His first catch of his career was a touchdown. But remember the guy, Tylon Wallace. Tylon Wallace is also a player that can see some more snaps as well. Very explosive player. Hit a big punt return for a touchdown last year. A couple of big plays this year as a wide receiver as well. So, you know, if you're looking for somebody to burst on the scene that's not Aguilar, I would go to Tylon Wallace.
That feels like a bigger deal than what you said at the top there, Rob. It just does for me to that's the Ravens' explosive play guy, and he's played, what, 33 games, 31 he started. It feels like a big deal to me to not have him.
Well, I understand you saying that, but, last I checked, big plays also come from a running back who had 1,900 yards and a quarterback as well. And I'm not making him irrelevant by no stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying the Ravens, even without Zay Flowers, are a team that can be explosive. They have two other very good playmakers with both of them in the backfield. So Zay Flowers is not, a guy that says Zay Flowers or no one else. They have three explosive players on their offense, and they're going to be missing one.
All right, I want to get into the vibe. We've asked people around here. It's always when you lose four in a row and people are just angry and the vibe's terrible. But when game day comes around, I think Steeler fans will understand that it's the Ravens and they have a deep-seated hatred for them. I want to get the feel of the Baltimore people because they also know that of all the teams capable of beating them, the Pittsburgh Steelers have done it on a routine basis. What is the feeling down there?
Nobody's walking around Baltimore buying into the Vegas point spread. Nobody's buying into that. I'm with you. It's going to be a closer game than that. 9.5 points, are you crazy? And I know Vegas, more likely than not, the reason why they keep building big buildings out there because more often than not, they're right. But this is different, man. This is Baltimore, Pittsburgh. This is Ravens, Steelers. This is different. No way in the world I'm going to sit here and tell you that the Ravens are going to beat the Steelers by 10. I don't care what the last game was. Now that's the game that stands out because it's not normally like that. Am I saying that I'm afraid of the Steelers coming here and winning this game? No, I'm not. However, it's just Mike Tomlin versus John Harbaugh. Normally, lately goes Mike Tomlin's way a lot. So the one team that I guess by law of average, I didn't want to see the Chargers because I think Jim Harbaugh is tired of hearing that he can't beat his brother, just like Lamar Jackson was tired of hearing that he couldn't beat Pittsburgh, and I think that's what happened last time. But of a team that, that the familiarity can come and bite you in the behind, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers coming into town. There's a lot of respect for that organization. We hate you because we respect you. That's the difference. The hatred is the hatred you're supposed to have for your rival. However, it's a certain amount of respect as well because, the history is deep. And it's going to be hard hitting. It's going to be a slobber knock in Baltimore. And by the way, it's going to be the forecast has snow in it. It's snow in the forecast as well.
Maybe lots of it.
Yeah, lots of it.
I was going to ask you about that. Does that include high winds? Because that could help keep the score down a little bit. But in relation to that, Rob, how has Lamar been in cold weather games?
Well, Lamar Jackson has not been great on the road in cold weather games. But can I back up for a second as well?
Yeah, yeah.
The Ravens are hoping for cold weather and gust of wind because without Zay Flowers, that takes that away. Mm. Now that was going to have to rely on a 1,900-yard running back and an 800-yard rusher for a quarterback. It's going to be a ground and pound game. And the Ravens, you want to have the great equalizer for not having Zay Flowers? Win. Cold weather.
Yeah.
So I don't think the Ravens will be rooting against the wind and cold weather. Lamar Jackson in the cold on the road may be a little bit different than Lamar Jackson in the cold at home.
You said there's a mutual respect, which is true. Yet I go to a social media post that Joe and I were talking about this morning that about Lamar Jackson's cologne, which was sampled by Ravens players. And in the background, and this was something I suppose was on the Ravens social media feed. Yes, that George Pickens, that's soft. What's it smell like? It smells like George Pickens soft. They knew that was on there. Was that deliberately thrown out to get into his head a little bit?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Is George Pickens mentally soft?
Yes.
he gets distracted pretty soon.
So,
pretty quickly.
If it's the truth, say the truth. If there's one guy on the Pittsburgh
Steelers, but don't you think it could go the other way at times, though? I mean, if you push that too hard and he digs down, you don't think so?
No, not with him. No, absolutely not. And I was just about to say, if there's one guy on the Steelers who I would mark, it's him. He's the guy on the Steelers that I would mark because he's the guy that instead of knowing how to rally around that, if he goes three or four pass plays and don't get a catch, then he turns on his own team. That's the guy you mark. Absolutely.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is the way to mark him. I wonder. Because you can go one of two ways with this. You can wake a sleeping monster here, or you can continue to flummox him like everybody else does when they get in his head, but they usually do it on the field. Actually, they don't. Other people have ripped him off the field too, Bob, after the fact.
He's not Antonio Brown back when he played for the Steelers. That's a guy who Superman's cape you didn't tug on because he would torch you. And nobody's worried about George Pickens that way. Antonio Brown was special. George Pickens is talented. Those are two different things.
But he also has beaten the Ravens. He beat him last year on a throw down the field. I mean, he can win games for you. I don't know about that strategy.
Because if there is maybe this is the week he just internalizes it all, doesn't say much outwardly, and comes out and puts up a performance. I think that could happen, but I understand what you're saying.
Well, I watched the Steelers. You know thy enemy. So I watched the Steelers the last four games. Are they going to be able to get them the ball consistently?
Well, that's a great question.
Because you haven't scored more than 17 points in the game last four.
That is a great question, as is the quarterback and everything else.
See, anger is a great motivator if you can get it done. But if you can't, you're just mad and losing.
Rob Long from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Here's the question for me, Rob. The overriding question in this game. There's a lot of demons that are sort of maybe dormant right now that could rise up in this game. There's Mike Tomlin in the playoffs. There's the Steelers in the playoffs. There's the Ravens playoff history. There's Lamar's playoff history and the Ravens and Lamar against the Steelers, if you still believe that exists. So if it's a close game late, whose demons rise up the most? Do you believe that Lamar and the Ravens dissolved that kryptonite that is the Steelers by the last game? Or does it start to burn again? Do the demons rise late in this one if we got a close game in the fourth quarter?
If I could pick the other demon is that guy Russell Wilson. I don't know how you guys believe in him going into this game.
Nobody does at the moment.
In a close game, it's Lamar versus Russell Wilson. And you can tell, Russell Wilson's been there before. Okay, well, it was a long time ago. I think the one thing you have as an advantage, if it is a close game, I will put my money on Lamar Jackson over Russell Wilson. I will put my money on Derrick Henry over anybody else you throw out there. So I think in a close game, it's no longer a coaching game. It's a player's game. Close game become player's games. And I just think the Ravens have the better personnel to handle a close game. If this game is the 10-point game that we talk about, you talk about preparation and the Ravens being coached up to come out here and do what they're supposed to do early on. And that's what I question. I question whether or not the Ravens will come out and do what they have to do early on in this football game to put this football game away. Because if they don't, then it will be a close game. And that's what you – I don't want that, but if it does, I take Lamar Jackson over Russell Wilson.
I actually agree that I think this game goes the way of the best way to exercise your demons is to draw them out, an exorcism. I think they're going to rise up for Lamar and he's going to finally win a Steeler game late with a big play late. But I disagree, Rob, that these close games don't come down a lot of times to coaching. I would point to the Pittsburgh game in Pittsburgh earlier this year where Tomlin calls timeout right before that baffling 2-point play that the Ravens ran, and he said afterward they gave him a bead on what they were going to run. For one thing, they didn't have Derrick Henry on the field. I think Tomlin has outcoached Harbaugh late in these close games.
That's a great point. It is. But there's also a game in which a player was uncharacteristic, and that's Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker is Justin Tucker. We're not even talking about that play.
Well, he's got it together, since then, right? I mean, he seems to have rectified.
Yes, but you're still talking about players deciding close games. And that's Justin Tucker's actions helped decide that close game. But you're right. Since then, since the bye week, Justin Tucker's been pretty solid.
Let me ask you this.
He didn't forget how to kick.
Yeah. Last time we were together, you mentioned something that I was a little stunned about. That is, Derrick Henry fumbled in the first meeting, and he wasn't back in the game for a while. You said John Harbaugh punishes guys regardless of who they are, which is, again, to me, coaching malfunction. If you're going to have a guy like Derrick Henry, you just said 1,900 yards, what he's meant to them. If that happens again in this game, does he do the same thing?
I think Derrick Henry will have a hissy fit on the sidelines if he fumbles, number one. but not put back in that game. And I think Derrick Henry will be joined by a couple other players in that as well. The Ravens were eliminated from the postseason last year against the Kansas City Chiefs because they didn't run the football enough with their running backs. I believe their running backs may have had six carries. That's not good enough. You cannot repeat that. You have arguably the most electrifying running back in the AFC right now. We know about Saquon Barkley, but that's on the other side. In the AFC, he may be the most electrifying running back. You have to give him the football. And I say at the expense of letting Lamar Jackson do Lamar, but Lamar Jackson will tell you, Derrick Henry has to touch the football, carry the football at least 20 times in his football game.
Rob Long from The Fan, just a couple more minutes, Rob. One, is any other injuries that you're monitoring there in Baltimore?
Right now, none. The Ravens had some sicknesses, some illnesses, largely with Patrick Ricard, who didn't play in the last game. Rashad Bateman left the game, tweaked up a little bit, but he returned back to the game and made a play, so it seems like he's healthy. So right now, the only injury that concerns me is Zay Flowers. And like I said, I haven't heard any inside information, but if you ask me, I don't think he plays on Saturday.
Is this the best team that Lamar has taken into the playoffs, or no?
No, that would be last year. Last year was the best team. Last year may be the best team that I could ever remember with the Ravens. They just didn't win the Super Bowl. They didn't get to the Super Bowl. I think last year's team was a little bit better. This year's team was really good, but he also had a great team. What was it, 2019, when he won the first MVP? That was a good team as well, but I think last year's team was better than both of these teams. This team is really good, and I think right now, you could argue they're the best team in the AFC. They just don't have the record to prove it. But we're tired of that. We've had the best record. Ravens have had the best record to prove it going into the postseason. It didn't mean anything. So maybe this is the year where they face some adversity and they know how they got to get through that adversity, and maybe they apply that in the playoffs, because it's a real good football team from top to bottom. And, you know, we got to give the defense some credit as well, because it looked like that defense couldn't find its way early in the season. And Zach Orr really pulled it together. And from week 11 on, they were one of the better defenses in the National Football League.
Dean Pease, baby. Dean Pease. That's what Mike Tomlin will tell you.
Let's not forget about him. That's right.
Let me ask you this.
You know, sometimes you need some help.
Sometimes
you need a little help.
Got to get that wisdom, that sage advice from people who've done it before. I want to ask you about what is a very competitive MVP race. You've spoken glowingly about Lamar Jackson. If you look at the straight numbers, he has every reason to think he should win a third. But will he, given the fact that Josh Allen never has won, and, you know, we saw this last year with Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt, I thought, just a popular, maybe sympathetic vote goes to someone who hadn't won it. What happens in the MVP race?
I'm going to answer this two different ways. I'm going to give you my real feelings first. I don't care. I want the third Super Bowl for the organization before Lamar Jackson's third MVP. I really don't care. However, I agree with you. This is MVP fatigue. This is what back in the day LeBron James used to face, Michael Jordan used to face. You got tired of voting for the same people. Shohei Ohtani is eventually going to face this in Major League Baseball. You're going to get tired of the same people winning. Lamar Jackson, in a short span, has already won two. He's only one vote away from being unanimous in both times. I think this is MVP fatigue. And you have a guy who arguably could have won it last year, who's having a great year this year, and everybody's rallying around him. Someone asked me, was Lamar Jackson mediocre day offensively Saturday hurt his MVP chances? No. How could stats come into play? When if the stats came into play in the first place, he would be the odds-on favorite. And it seems like he's not. So it has nothing to do with stats. This is all about, you know, I mean, they want to give a man an MVP who hasn't won one, who's MVP caliber. You know, it's not a complete Rob job. If Josh Allen wins the MVP, he had an MVP caliber season. I just don't think his MVP caliber season was better than Lamar's.
You know what? We argued about that a few weeks back. I'm from Buffalo originally, follow that team very closely, and I disagreed then. And now if I had a vote, I'd give it to Lamar. Here's what blew me away, Rob. Here's what absolutely blew me away. I was watching Good Morning Football the other day. Peter Schrager put up the stat that Lamar's attempted 474 passes and has been only intercepted four times. That's not the half of it. Then he showed the clip of every interception. Bateman dropped
it's
a ball.
Right.
Andrews dropped a ball. Justice Hill dropped a ball that Peyton Wilson made
a great play.
And then Bateman may have stopped his route. We could be looking at a guy with nearly 500 passes who could and maybe should have no interceptions.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
He has 41 touchdowns to 4 interceptions.
Right.
41 touchdowns. He has a combined 45 touchdowns this year. And he's only turned to only have 4 interceptions. So, you know, he is amazing. He may be he's one of one. I don't know if you'll ever see anything like this again, man. I mean, 4,000 yards passing, 800 yards rushing. Come on, man. If you remember back in the game, back in the day when we played Madden, and you could create your own player. Yes. You'd create a guy like Lamar Jackson, and the people you were playing against would tell you, you can't do that. That's unfair. Nobody's that good. Remember, no one's that good. Well, now you've got Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the player that we created on Madden years ago.
I know, but the problem is he's 2-4 in the playoffs with 6 touchdowns and 6 picks. Are we going to see Michael Jordan, playoff Michael Jordan from Lamar? Are we going to see it?
This is the year to do it, because eventually it is about championships. You guys know this. Championship windows close if you don't take advantage of them. If you step through them, then you can prolong that and keep that window open for a few years.
What happens?
If you have opportunity after opportunity all the time, eventually close it. I think this is the year that the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson get to the Super Bowl, largely because they've had some adversity they did not have the first 2 years where they were the number one seed. They faced some adversity. They've had to rally themselves. They had to look themselves in the mirror. I think this is the year.
What has happened as a guy who watches every snap he takes? When you watch him in the playoffs, do teams play him differently? Does he tighten up? What has happened to Lamar in the playoffs?
I think he's tightened up at times. I'll go back to the AFC Championship game when Odell Beckham was on the sidelines. We saw that clip of him begging him to run. Come on, Lamar, you got to run the ball. You got to do this. You got to do that. Why weren't you running? I think he has. I don't think he'd be the only one that's ever done that before, but I think now is the time for him to own it. To me, Lamar looks different this year to me. He looks like he's not only running the offense, he looks like he has ownership of the offense. He looks like he has ownership of this team. So I'm hoping that he takes that same mindset into the postseason, because if he wins one, we'll look back one day, he'll go down in history as one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. He's done everything, and I looked at all the numbers. He's the best pocket passer in the NFL this year. Not many people thought that would happen, given how he first started.
Isn't that incredible?
It is.
Isn't that incredible?
But that speaks to his development. You know, that speaks to what he's done. So the bottom line is, of the 4 interceptions, I should point out 2 are against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll leave you with that note.
Hey, you know what? Listen, man, you don't have to convince me of this problem. I know what this is about. I know thy enemy. You know, I'm not happy about you guys coming into town, by the way. I'm not happy about it, but it is what it is.
Give me a final score, Rob.
I'm with you, man. This day's going to be close and low scoring. I'm going Ravens 24, Pittsburgh 20. And they may get a touchdown later, garbage touchdown or whatever. But when it's all said and done, it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be under a touchdown.
We appreciate the time.
Always good stuff, Rob.
Thank you.
Always. Thanks a lot.
He's unbelievable.
Rob Long,
isn't
Law.
He? I love that. I love it. He's great. Isn't he, Bob?
Yeah, he cuts right to it, doesn't waste time, gets you what you want to hear, and does it quickly so you can get a lot more questions in. No filibustering there. But no. I do believe that he's on to this. I think this is a different team down there. I do.
I know.
And I think Derrick Henry gives him a massive advantage.
I know, but what did you just hear from a guy who is very bullish on the Ravens, very bullish on Lamar, just predicted a final score of 24-20, which is right in my neighborhood of what's going to happen in this game. The 9.5-point spread is ludicrous and is an unbelievable insult to the Steelers and spits in the face of 17 years of Tomlin Harbaugh. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous point spread.
All right. I think it is too, and I couldn't believe it was that high to begin with, but it stayed right there. It hasn't changed much. 3 options. Steeler blowout win.
No.
Close game. Ravens blowout win. Give me an order.
Close game, Ravens blowout win, Steelers blowout win.
That would be the logical thought.
Or wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, close game. Yeah, that's exactly.
There's no way I expect them to go down there and blow that team out.
I don't expect them to win. But I'll tell you this much, as I've been saying for a couple days here, if it's, he says 24-20. If it's 21-20, 6 minutes into the fourth quarter, that place is going to be filled with so many demons, you'd think you were in The Exorcist.
Both sides of demons. You'd have demons of Lamar, not beating the Steelers. You have demons of Tomlin not losing a playoff game. You have demons of all these demons.
I hope from the Ravens side, if I were a Ravens backer, I would hope that they're expecting some adversity here. Like, because the other dynamic that could happen is if things start to go below scoring, sort of ugly game, it may set in on them that, hey, we're supposed to beat this team by a lot. We're supposed to win. We're a 9.5-point favorite. We think so much of ourselves, we're openly mocking the other team before the game. We haven't fulfilled our expectations with Lamar. What's happening here? What's happening? It's 13-13 at the half. This isn't supposed to be happening. I think it's more likely that that type of stuff sets in on their side than it does on the Steelers' side. Why would it?
What did you make him saying about George Pickens, that he's an easy mark and they went after it?
I 100% agree. I'm not sure that prior to the game in that fashion is the way to do it, because it goes one of two ways,
right,
with Pickens.
I mean,
either you're right and you get under his head, you know, into his skin before the game, into his head, under his skin, whatever it is. Or you get a motivated George Pickens who says, you know what, I'm going to prove myself in this game and I'm going to keep my head on
my
shoulder.
There's no question. It could go that way. And if it does, that cologne, you'll be smelling it in Pittsburgh. People will be bringing it out, squirting it into the air.
See, that's the type of thing I'm talking about. This is prime opportunity for Steelers fans to circle the wagons here.
And instead, using a Buffalo terminology.
Instead, it feels like apathy or anger
again,
has superseded
just,
that.
It's the way that it happens when you lose four in a row. You can't expect it to be different. But when game time comes around and people are amped, it's a night game, people have had a few beverages, and all of a sudden, something happens where you see a Ravens fan with a terrible towel doing something. All of a sudden, the antennas will go up, people will be fired up, and if they get out to a lead, it makes it only better. If they don't, that suddenly dissipates.
Bob, you're reminding me of a lot of things today. I'm not so sure these aren't the stakes here, as if the stakes aren't high enough. Other than Super Bowl, other than the Super Bowl, this might be the greatest win of Tomlin's career, considering the opponent, considering how heavy an underdog, considering the sentiment going into this game. It might be the greatest non-Super Bowl win of Tomlin's career if they win this game. Conversely, if they lose, I'm not sure it wouldn't be the low point of Tomlin's tenure with the Steelers. I think those might be the stakes here as well. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. Just because of the way this game and this week has gone. I think people look at the point spread. It's never been this high in this series, never. And if they should overcome it and do it on the road in a place they've never played a playoff game and beat that team, which is expected to compete for a Super Bowl, they're one of the teams out there, I think people will look at that as, and it'll completely shift, because we are a week-to-week, day-to-day operation here when it comes to sports. People change based on a result or not a result. And if you don't get the result, it just becomes worse. If you get the result, people forget a lot about what they called last week about. Now, all of a sudden, you're playing a team that you know you're going to be underdogs again, and people will be talking about winning another underdog kind of situation, but they won't.
Especially if they get blown out, I think it'll be the low point of his career.
Well, yeah, blowout's different. Because then it's expected.
Maybe just a loss.
It's expected to come, and it comes in a blizzard condition. And I mean that as far as the social pushback on him. If you get blown out,
I think it'll be the
low point. What a lot of people have been saying.
Yeah,
you know?
I think even if they lose, it could be the low point. But if they win, it might be his greatest non-Super Bowl win.
It could very well be.
I'm going to tell you next about the biggest upsets in playoff history, what the point spreads were.